Holy One, be with us in our quest for wisdom and understanding. Go with us as we go, and provide us with meaning where we cannot find it. Amen. Have you been walking or busing or driving recently and come to a street and thought to yourself, just a minute, wasn't there a building there before? Or something different, or where's the Tim Hortons gone? Or you look around and realize that the building has been redeveloped, or the corner store is now an apartment building under construction. Or there's a pyramid of concrete blocks compressing the soil where you used to get your oil changed. The landscape around us is literally changing before our eyes. We are not sure what's going to be down the street tomorrow. Some of those changes may be good, but there's still often grief at indefinable loss of what was there and how we related to that landscape and the marks that showed us where we were going. And some of it, frankly, is not good, but we seek to rebuild our community within the changes. The landscape is changing, and we are uncomfortable and even afraid. And sometimes we actually have to stand in front of the trees that we want to protect or make a deliberate effort to retain what is essential. I hope you'll go with me because this is a metaphor. And for a moment, I'm going to put that in ecological terms. We want to be sure that the fresh water still flows, that there are trees to purify the air and green places to walk, wild places where otters can fish and coyotes can roam, and where we can sometimes encounter the mysterious unknown. Today, Kingdom of God Sunday is sometimes called Christ the King Sunday. In the life of the church, this is a relatively new celebration. Begun in the 1920s, it was a response to the rise of extreme nationalism in Europe. It was a reminder to people where their allegiance lay, not to the plans and wars of populist leaders, but to the Christ that calls us to compassion, and the Christ who is worshipped beyond the borders of our own place. The landscape is changing and nationalism is on the rise to gain, but there's also another piece of the church landscape that is changing. And quite frankly, this is something that I'd rather hope to avoid talking about, partly because I get so annoyed when I do. But I've had a lot of questions recently about a woman named Greta Vosper, who says she's an atheist minister. The news reports that a United Church process has stopped in the efforts to remove her as minister is where the questions lie. I am not here to justify or defend a decision that I don't understand or even explain the reasoning, because the reasoning is covered by a non-disclosure agreement, and so I don't know what the reasons are. But somehow, without intending to, I think the results of that have changed my landscape. If you've lived in Richmond a long time and you find yourself at the corner of Lansdowne and Gilbert Road, on your way to the airport, you could be confused. Those streets didn't used to meet. That didn't used to be a corner. But now they do, and the streets go off at weird angles in unexpected directions, and some of the lanes are left turn only where there wasn't actually even a street before. And a lot of us are feeling the same way about what's happened regarding the atheist minister in the United Church. There really wasn't a corner here before. We're pretty sure there shouldn't be a corner here now. And the signs are confusing. And frankly, if you turn right from this lane, there could be a disaster. So first, I need to tell you there is a lot of grief and anger at what has happened. There's a lot of frustration at the fact that no explanation has been given. It was Toronto Conference that stopped the inquiry. Here's what's been suggested. The conference did not want this process to move to the civil courts. There has been no decision that Greta is suitable for United Church ministry, But what has been decided is that she can stay at the church where she is currently working because they want her there. In that church, Greta can be an evangelical atheist. There will be no prayer. The Bible is rarely read. There are no sacraments, no baptisms, and no communion. They do not mention God or Christ. As one of my colleagues said, I find no hope there. And like most United Church ministers this morning, I'm also standing at an intersection that I didn't know was here. And though I'm confused and even distressed, I think I can still find my way to the airport. And I believe I can fly. So first of all, I think the story of God that we carry is important. I think the story of Jesus, the Messiah, has wisdom to teach us, and that it is grounded in a belief that God is with us. In looking at this greater story, I find that the ancestors in faith came to a similar corner. And so I'd like to tell you that story. After God had led the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and God had led them through the desert, God gave Moses rules of life that would allow them to survive in the desert. They came to the edge of the Jordan River, and they could see green fields on the other side. And there, Moses died, and Joshua became the leader of the people. After Joshua had led them across the Jordan to new homes and places, he found that many still worshipped old gods, kept household idols, and made sacrifice to them, and did not gather together for worship. And Joshua called them to account, saying, Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered, Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. The Lord drove out before us the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. When Joshua speaks, he says, As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And in our Bibles, that is usually translated as Lord in capital letters. The God who spoke to Moses in the desert. And when Moses asked, What is your name? God responded, I am there. I will be there. And that is translated, Lord, because the initials spell something like Yahweh. So I say to you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I was at a meeting of presbytery on Tuesday, the last meeting of presbytery, because the landscape of the church structure is also changing. That intersection is about to disappear. We're going to have to make some of our own pathways in the desert. The ministers gathered in that place, while the lay people gathered upstairs, we were downstairs, and we were asked to say where we see the light. And after some quiet reflections, the ministers expressed their grief and their dismay at the decision. I tell you this because it's important for you to know that overwhelmingly United Church ministers believe in God, despite what Greta Vosper says. And overwhelmingly United Church ministers believe that Jesus is important to our faith and our understanding. And that the biblical witness to God is still a place where we find our inspiration and wisdom, and sometimes the terrible examples. As for us, we will serve the Lord, because that is where we believe our hope lies. In the midst of the changing landscape, We think that this belief will be our map in the desert and our rule of life. And by that, I mean the rules that Christ gave us. Walk in the light. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And this is your commission. Go baptizing in my name and preaching the good news of love to all the nations. I am surprised to find an intersection where there was none before. I am distressed that a minister in the United Church would try to close off the route to the discovery of the source of our life and our hope, and to teach us that there is no hope beyond ourselves or herself. But I think with God's help, I can still find my way to the airport. I think I can still find my way home. And I think we can make our paths to God and Christ the way people have for 2,000 years. Through prayer, faith, confession, and compassion, we will find our way home. This is the story of Christianity, that the landscape is always changing, and still, we find our way. When the Christians in Ephesus wrote to the Apostle Paul that their landscape was changing and asked for his advice, he wrote this to them: I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly, far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.